Pastor Nell Fields is describing Helen Lewis while sitting in one of Lewis's favorite places, a pew at the nearly 200-year-old Wacquoit Congregational Church in Falmouth.
She was the type of person, if she walked in right here, and we don't have the lights on, if she walked in right here, you would feel like the lights went on. She just had this beautiful smile and laugh. She definitely was filled with light.
Filled with light. It's interesting the Reverend describes Lewis this way because a few days later, Nancy Newman, the activities director at the Royal Nursing Center in Falmouth, uses the same metaphor.
It never failed. When Helen would come into the activity room, the activity would stop. The residents would all turn around and say, "Helen, you're here. You're here." And it was like this beam of light, you know, this beam of warmth and light and love that would just come. And I haven't seen a response from the residents like that with anybody else.
Lewis was already in her 90s when she moved to the Royal Center 3 years ago. And it was a long life's journey that brought her here. 94 years that she filled with travel and music, prayer and food. Her friends and family say she was a woman who shared a lot, whether it was wisdom, stories, or meals. For her roommate and friend, Cynthia Carafa, Lewis shared something bigger, her unwavering faith that God would take care of her.
I got comfort from that. I'm not afraid. I was afraid of dying when I came in here. You know, I've always been afraid of dying, but I'm no longer, because of Helen, I'm no longer afraid of dying. When it happens, it happens.
For Helen Lewis, it happened on a Saturday morning after a life well lived and a jelly donut.
Oh, my goodness. Now, the jelly donut, how interesting that came to be.
That's Lewis's youngest granddaughter, Jamie Brown.
The night before, she had dinner, and it wasn't pureed. It was supposed to have been pureed because she had some issues swallowing.
Dinner got sorted out, but the next morning, Jamie was sure to get back to her grandma's room early to make certain breakfast was done right. It was oatmeal and scrambled eggs with coffee, milk, and OJ. The eggs made her cough.
And it just so happens that one of her friends came by, and she had a donut. She had a jelly donut, and my grandmother just grabbed the donut. And she was like, yoink, and then she grabbed the donut, and she just inhaled it.
In the days before that gooey, sugary morning, Lewis wasn't well. But as she chomped away, she didn't cough once. Sharon Rodarty was her hospice nurse.
Helen had had a fairly bad week. She wasn't feeling well. And I came in that Saturday morning. Helen was sitting up in her bed, smile on her face. Her granddaughter was here from New York visiting. She had jelly all over her nightgown. And I said, "Helen, you've got jelly all over you." She said, "Yep." She said, "I had a jelly donut. It was wonderful." And she said, "And Jamie's here." That's her granddaughter. And I said, "Well, I think the jelly donut and Jamie are the best medicine." She said, "Yeah, I feel wonderful." And about 5 minutes later, while I was still in here, she started having some difficulty breathing, and within 5 minutes, she passed away.
That's a really terrific way to leave. You know, there's so many ways you leave this world when you die. Sometimes it could be completely brutal. It can be violent and awful. But I think with her, she just was at peace, and I think that donut really gave her that moment of joy, of just saying, "Okay, I'm happy with this. This is really great. You know, well done. Life well served."
Helen Jean Lewis was born in 1919 in Chester, Pennsylvania. She was the oldest of six, and from the time she was little, she was a churchgoer. In fact, Reverend Fields says the choir at Lewis's memorial service sang this song, "There Is a Balm in Gilead," because it was one of Lewis's favorites.
She had a beautiful voice. She never had to use a hymnal. She knew every hymn by heart. She knew all the words. So you would see the choir standing up there with their hymnals or their pieces of paper, and Helen never had anything, and she was so full of joy, and you knew exactly whom she was singing to and whom she was singing about.
Helen Lewis was a woman of color, and she grew up in an America where little black girls were passed over and racial discrimination was the norm. She experienced it herself many times, but it didn't crush her spirit.
I say about him, the first time I met her, I knew that she was an extraordinary woman. She was born in 1919. She saw it all, the Depression. She traveled around the world when people weren't even traveling. And on top of that, being an African-American, she had challenges.
Lewis was 10 years old when the Great Depression rocked the economy. By that time, she already was working, taking jobs, cleaning people's homes. When she was in high school in Rahway, New Jersey, her granddaughter Jamie says there was brief talk of Lewis getting a job at a hardware store as a cashier.
The manager wanted to hire her, but he could not, because if he did, the store would have closed, because the customers would never shop there again, because hiring a black person to be a cashier and to have a black person touching the money, that was considered dirty. And they just did not want that. They couldn't survive if they did hire her. So she was able to work, but at the same time, it was in a very limited role.
Lewis graduated from high school in 1938, and it wasn't long before America was fighting in the Second World War. She spent the war painting airplane parts at a General Motors assembly plant. She also assembled gun belts at an arsenal, and later boasted to her granddaughter that she made bullets to kill Hitler.
She loved America. She loved this country. She loved FDR.
When she was nearly 30, Helen married Air Force Staff Sergeant Lawrence Lewis, who took her to see the world. It was an adventurous life with lots of travel and brushes with celebrities. Her obituary lists spending time in places such as French Morocco, near Casablanca in the early 1950s, Okinawa, Japan in the 60s, and in 1962, Helen and Lawrence arrived at Otis Air Force Base on Cape Cod. This is where she wanted to stay. David Brown is Lewis's son-in-law. He first met her here on Cape Cod, and he says she was a beautiful, generous person. He called her mom.
Always there to give you some wisdom, and that's what made her a difference. And she was a spiritual person, and God was in her life all the time. Those are the things that has to be something when someone says living 94 years. God only gives you 70. And how do you get more than that?
Lewis's oldest granddaughter, Dana Brown, says she appreciates her grandmother's gentle spirit and her sage advice.
When I was always worried, I said, Grandma, I don't think I'm going to find a husband. And she said, no, you'll find one. She says, what you got to do is you got to get a picture of whomever it is you like, and you got to put a dime right in the picture frame and just, you know, just you put that dime in front of whomever you like. She said, that'll work. And so I text messaged one of my friends, and I said, listen, find all the dimes you got in your house. I need to make sure you get a jar next time when I come home.
Jamie Brown says Lewis was the greatest of influences.
I think she was a symbol of really knowing who you are, who your own sense of self-worth, and knowing that if someone thinks that you're less than, or if they call you a name, or if they say that you're not good enough at something, you don't have to believe that. You don't have to buy what they're pushing. You really have your own will, and you're strong enough to believe that you are extraordinary.
For more than 50 years, Cape Cod was where Lewis indulged her love for parties, shopping, and friends. Family members say she was a foodie before the term existed, so it made sense to them that when she was living at Royal Nursing Home, Lewis was elected co-chair of the Resident Council Committee by her peers, where she petitioned for such things as more comfort food.
She did have some interesting things to say about the food.
That's Royal's Director of Social Services, Lavinia Scott Brown.
Right. She kept everybody on their toes. You know, if there was anything that she could keep you on your toes, a twinkle would come in her eye and she'd start to say, well, let me tell you about the food we had this morning. And I'd say, okay. And then she'd tell me and we'd try to fix the problems. But she always had something she wanted to talk to me about. And I think it was because we had a good relationship.
Friends at Royal knew Lewis as the woman on the scooter, the one who loved the color purple and who greeted them with a peaceful smile, the one who gently touched people on the face when she said goodbye, often saying, God loves you best.
She made a lot of friends at the nursing home, and they loved her. They did. They really, really loved her a lot. I got a card in the mail, and the card said, Jamie, we miss Helen.
Lewis was confident in her faith and about what would happen to her spirit when she died. But she also made plans for her body. She wanted to donate it to science, so she enrolled in the anatomical gift program at Harvard Medical School. Even in death, Lewis wanted her life to make a difference. It was serious, but she also joked about it.
So, she said, at my age, that's the only way a colored woman can get into Harvard is if I donate my body. So that's what she did.
Helen Lewis died on January 25th in the morning, just a few minutes after eating her jelly donut. She was 94. For WCAI, I'm Sean Corcoran.